ओम गणितमिनं दशा जना जना सुलकया चक्षुस्मिलतं जैना तस्मै श्री गवे नमः श्री चैतन्य मनोविष्टं स्तुतिकं जैन बुद्धले स्वयमितमयं ददति सफलन्तिकं मनुष्य कपुचुभ्यश्च कृपसन्निवेश पतितरं पवनं वैष्णवं We began reading the effulgent and glorious words of the Braj Gopis as they heard the sound of Krishna's flute in Venu Gita. They could not speak, but yet they spoke. And first they described the perfection of the eyes was to see the beautiful form of Krishna entering the forest as he played his flute and glanced lovingly at his devotees. And this perfection was not only the perfection of their eyes, it's the perfection of everyone's eyes, all living entities. Very good. To see Krishna, because the eyes were so eye-oriented, and the perfection of those eyes is to see the form of Krishna. And once one actually sees the form of Krishna, once even if Krishna reveals just a little bit of his beauty, one will be struck and stunned, as were the Braj Gopis. Maybe not exactly on the same level, but Krishna's form is so beautiful, unlimitedly beautiful, unlimitedly beautiful. And then after describing that the perfection of the eyes for everyone is to see the form of Krishna, then they describe how Krishna was dressed in the forest, decorated with the sprigs of the cuts of the mango and the peacock feathers and flowers in his hair and behind his ears, and decorated looking like Natabara, the best of dancers, dramatic actor on stage. Amidst, in the middle, Madhyevade Jaturalam Pashupala Gostam, in the midst of the coward boys. And they would sing on Kracha Gayamana. Sometimes Krishna would sing, sometimes Krishna would appreciate the singing of the other coward boys. Sometimes Krishna Balaram would say, "Who can anyone sing in the whole universe sing as wonderfully as we sing?" And in this way the boys would play, and the gopis would just be thinking, "Only if I could see this, how pious these boys are. They're able to see, associate with Krishna in this way. Only if we could see it, even if we were just hidden behind some trees looking through the leaves at Krishna, how fortunate we would be." And then their attention turned to the sound of the flute and the cause of that sound. And how fortunate is this flute? Because Damada Adra Idam Shudam. Because the flute is tasting the nectar of the lips, which is just meant for us. And how happy the flute must be. And how pleased even the bamboo that is around the banks of the Jamuna River must be, and how pleased are the rivers themselves, because the rivers feed the bamboos, and the bamboo, just as when one of our own kind from our own village or area or country does something wonderful, we feel wonderful. So similarly, the gopis are thinking, everyone is feeling wonderful about this situation where Krishna is playing his flute, except for us. Because we cannot go and see Krishna. Our hearts are breaking. And in the midst of that loving separation, that varaha bhav, Krishna is actually there in uppercut lila. And they are with Krishna in that way. But this is impossible, practically speaking, for the materialistic mind to understand. Not only how the gopis can be with Krishna, or the secret of their loving separation, and how it calls Krishna, and the sadness turns into ecstatic happiness. But the whole concept, the whole idea, who can understand this understanding of the Param Brahma, the Param Satyam, the absolute truth of the Param Ishvara, of the Supreme God, being a person, that someone can have this type of a Madhurja Shingara, conjugal relationship with? How is that possible? Because when people think of God, they begin to quiver and shake, and they only can think of Him in dasyaras, of serving Him, which is certainly wonderful. But how can anyone conceive of this? What an incredible religious conception this is of Damodar. In this way, Damadaram Sudam, Adaram Sudam Api Gopikaram. This Damodar belongs to the gopis. Who can understand this? But if one understands the philosophy of Krishna consciousness, then one, if one hears this, hears the Bhagavatam, one can understand this, because it is all a matter of bhakti or love. It is not just servitude. Just do what God wants. Otherwise, He's a thunderbolt will come your way. No, it is a matter of love. It is a matter of love for God, love for Krishna. And then, as soon as one accepts that the purpose, prema pamarto mahan, that the purpose of all religious actions is to love Krishna, and naturally those who love Him the most and most intimately are the greatest of religionists. So therefore, it is clear. And from that point of view, one can understand the five different rasas, and it is clear that the rasa of Madhurja rasa, Shringara rasa, contains all the rest, and it is the most intimate. Everyone knows this. It is the most intimate. It is the most loving. It is the most intimate. And amongst all the intimate lovers of Krishna in this Madhurya Rasa, the gopis of Vrindavan stand supreme. Because their love is completely unflinching and focused simply upon Krishna's pleasure. Icha dari premanam. Krishnendriya priti, just to satisfy Krishna's senses. What could be more wonderful than this? So, understanding that there is not a trace of atmendriya priti, vansha, no desires, any selfishness or lust, tari bali kam, there is no lust in this at all. That allows one to understand or hear these wonderful descriptions of true love spoken by the gopis. So then, in the 7, 8, and then 9, describe the fortune, the kushalam, the great fortune of the flute. And then in 10, describes the effect of the flute playing, not only on the gopis, and not only on all other creatures too, how it affects them. So Vrindavanam Saki Bhuvo Vitanoti Kirtim. That means that Vrindavan is saying, O Sakis, O friends,
It is Vrindavan that makes this world, this earth, glorious.
Just like if there is one tree of sandalwood in a forest, the whole forest becomes fragrant. And the forest becomes glorious due to the fragrance of that one tree. So similarly, because Vrindavanam Sakhi Bhuvo Vindanoti Kirti, Vrindavan has become glorious. And that makes the whole earth glorious. Why? Yad Devaki Sutta Parambhuja Labdha Lakshmi. That Devaki Sutta, the son of Devaki, and here, as the Acharyas have explained and will be explained in the purport, quoting from the Brihad Vishnu Purana, that Devaki was the name of Yashoda Mai. She had two names, Yashoda and Devaki. And because her name was Devaki, and Vasudeva's wife Devaki was also named Devaki, naturally they became friends. So this is Yasoda Sutta, Yad Devaki Sutta, because the earth has become glorious, because Yad Devaki Sutta Padam Bhuja Labdha Lakshmi. He's mocking the earth of Vrindavan, the soft dust of Vrindavan, with his lotus footprints, which have many auspicious markings upon them. And now here comes in the second to last of the verse, describes the effect of the flute upon the other residents of Vrindavan. Govinda Venum. When Govinda plays his flute, Ano Matta Mayora Nrityam. Mayora means what? Mayor. More. Mayor is Bengali also? More is Hindi. Huh? Mayor is Hindi and Mayor is Bangla. Mayor. And also the peacocks are always saying that too. One time I was somewhere, and I remember in Mathura, and there was a peacock that was calling, and he sounded just like, it was so much like a person saying Mayor. He was saying Mayor! Mayor! It sounded just like that. It was incredible. When do peacocks call? When there's clouds and they want the rain to come. They call the rain clouds and they make that sound. And in Vrindavan they say Mayor, they're saying not Mayor but Megor. They want more clouds to come and pour down rain because it's so hot and the rain is cooling. But here, the peacocks, Govinda Venam, when they hear the sound of Krishna's flute, they are maddened by it. Just like the gopis are maddened by it. Every Akshanvantam Phalamidam. Everyone is attracted to Krishna's form and the sound of his flute. And they are maddened. Anumatta and Mayora Nrityam. What does Nrityam mean? Dance. They dance. They begin to dance and they shake their feathers. And it makes a wonderful sound too. They're shaking their feathers and they're dancing and they're spreading all their feathers out. And Prakshadri Sanu Avataranya Samasta Sattvam. And all the creatures, all the other animals of Vrindavan. Prakshadri, they go on the top of the hills to watch this incredible scene of Krishna playing his flute surrounded by the peacocks that are dancing and everyone hearing the flute watching Krishna and watching the peacocks, all the animals become stunned as they sit on the top of Govardhan Hill and watch this scene. So this is what the gopis are describing, the effect of the flute playing on the other creatures such as this, the little animals and the peacocks. So here's the translation. O friend, Vrindavanam Sakhi Bhuvo. O friend, Vrindavan is spreading the glory of the earth, having obtained the treasure of the lotus feet of Krishna. Everyone is interested in treasure. at the end of the rainbow, there is a great what? With a big pot of gold, a great treasure. Everyone is interested in the treasures. But what greater treasure
is there
than the lotus feet of Krishna? Which means really the service of Krishna. And the earth
is feeling that.
Oh, I'm serving Krishna in this way by giving him a place for him to walk and have his pastimes. And Krishna is reciprocating with the earth by marking the earth, imprinting the earth with his lotus footprints. So, Vrindavan is spreading the glory of the earth, having obtained the treasure of the lotus feet of Krishna, the son of Devaki. The peacocks dance madly when they hear Govinda's flute. And when other creatures see them from the hilltops, they all become stunned. Here is the purport. Srila Sridhar Swami explains that because activities such as those described in this verse do not occur in any other world, the earth is unique and the earth is glorious. In fact, the earth's glories are being spread by wonderful Vrindavan because it is the place of Krishna's pastimes. So it is very, very fortunate, as India is fortunate, because it is the land. I remember years ago I was reading in some magazine, and someone asked an Indian, this is before I began chanting Hare Krishna, someone asked an Indian, what is the best country? And you know what country they said? No, if they asked a kangaroo what is the best country, that's what they would say. They say, shall we write? But they asked an Indian, and of course, the Indian said, India. And the interviewer said, why is India the best country? And they said, because the Ganga River is there. And I couldn't understand what they were talking about. Oh, this is just some silly talking. But then, having bathed in the Ganga, have you ever bathed in Ganga? Yes? Yes? Thousands of times. Have you bathed in the Ganga thousands of times? Hundreds maybe though. Pretty good. Have you bathed thousands of times? 100 times. Have you bathed in the Ganga 1,000 times? 20 times. How many times?
Less than 5.
No. You're just picking up the wrong customers when you're driving your taxi. Someone's take me to the Ganga. Then you'll be very fortunate. Yes, but even more fortunate than the Ganga, this is the question was asked to Srila Jiva Goswami, which is the most wonderful river? And which river did Jiva Goswami answer? I won't ask you. Jamuna. But of course, the Ganga Krishna has satisfied the desires of the Ganga by bathing in the Ganga. That's Mahaprabhu. So the whole earth is fortunate because it is touched by the lotus feet of Krishna imprints. The Krishna's lotus feet are there. It is hard for us with our teeny mind when we conceive of what's fortunate. Just like if you ask a 3-year-old child what's fortunate, they'll say, if you give me a candy, that's fortunate. Because that's his conception of pleasure, of happiness, of fortune. We base our conception of fortune on our conception of happiness. What brings us happiness? What fortunate is those things that bring us happiness. But if we could just get a little bit of a conception of what true happiness is, what spiritual happiness is, what rasa is, what Vrindavan is, then our whole conception of fortune and misfortune changes completely. So the earth's glories are being spread by wonderful Vrindavan because it is the place of Krishna's pastimes. The name Devaki also refers to Mother Yasoda, as stated in the Brihad Vishnu Purana, and Veinam Ninanda Bharyaya Yasoda Devaki. Kicha, kitacha, atasakyam adbhutasya devaka surijayaya. The wife of Nanda had two names, Yasoda and also Devaki. Therefore it was natural that she, the wife of Nanda, developed friendship with Devaki, the wife of Sauri, Vasudeva. Srila Vishwanath Thakavati Thakur explains Krishna Leela as follows. You're listening carefully? This is what Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains Krishna Leela's. In Vrindavan, the peacocks request Krishna, Govinda, please make us dance. Thus Krishna plays his flute, and they surround him in a circle, and they dance in time with the rhythm of the melody of his flute playing. And while standing in the midst of their dancing, Krishna also sings and dances. This is what Krishna Leela is. This is what ecstasy is. And then those peacocks who are fully satisfied with Krishna's musical performance, out of gratitude, offer for his pleasure their own divine feathers. They drop their feathers as an offering to Krishna. In the usual manner of musical performance, just like if there's someone playing musical and then you offer him something, naturally it's an appreciation, the gift, it's a token. And that's what bhakti is. And this is what Krishna Leela is. The love that the devotees, the residents of Vrindavan, experience for Krishna, it is manifest in a token, a gesture, that's the right word, a gesture of their love and their appreciation. And that is seva, or devotional service. When someone is sweeping the temple room floor, or cleaning the floor of the deity room, it's not work. It's not work. It is a gesture of love. Because this is what how do you express what's in your heart? Very, very difficult when you say, I love you. It's cheap. Anyone can say it. Gopis, they're not saying, I love Govinda. They're indirectly expressing things by their actions especially and by their words. So similarly, the work that we do isn't work. It's seva, which means this is the way I express my appreciation and love for Krishna, for Prabhupada, for Mahaprabhu, for Nityananda Prabhu, for the Vaishnavas. It's a gesture, an external gesture, a manifestation of an internal state of mind, of what's in the heart, in the chitta. That's what seva is. That's what bhakti is. That's what devotional service is. Because it's not just in the body. It's in the body, the words, and the mind. This is how Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur comments on Anyabhilasita Sanyam verse of Srila Rupa Goswami's Bhakti Samhita Sindhu Nectar of Devotion. It's of the words, the mind, and the body. It's manifested in these three ways. Could you open the door a little bit? So it is a gesture of love. So the peacocks surrounding Krishna and dancing as he plays his flute, and Krishna also dancing and singing sometimes. They surround him in a circle and then they offer Krishna a gesture, and that is their peacock feathers. And what does Krishna do with those peacock feathers? Krishna gladly accepts these presentations and places a feather upon the turban atop his head. Just like if we, when something devotional falls to the ground, even kartals, we don't place kartals or anything devotional on the ground. And when something touches the ground, out of respect, we touch it to our head, out of respect and affection. So Krishna takes the gift of the feather of the peacock, and out of respect and affection and reciprocation, he takes it and places it upon his head. And therefore, Krishna always has a peacock feather. You'll never see a picture of Krishna without a peacock feather. So how much affection he has for the peacocks of Vrindavan, that he always, always, always keeps their feathers with upon his head. Gentle animals, this is more about Krishna Lila, such as deer and doves, greatly relish the transcendental entertainment presented by Krishna. And to get a good view, they flock to the peaks of the hills. Then, as they watch the breathtaking program of Krishna and the peacocks dancing and singing, they become stunned in ecstasy. This is one of the symptoms of sattvic abhav, of becoming stunned. And Srila Sanatana Goswami comments that because in Vrindavan Krishna goes barefoot and can thus directly mark the earth with the symbols of his lotus feet, that transcendental land is even more glorious than Vaikuntha, where Lord Vishnu or Lord Narayan wears slippers. And even in Dwarka, Krishna, and in Mathura, Krishna wears slippers, shoes. But in Vrindavan, because he's acting in the most intimate way as a cowherd boy, and if you see in Vrindavan, the cowherd boys, or maybe not so much nowadays, but they wear, they just go barefoot, they walk around. So that's the speciality of Vrindavan. It is touched by the lotus feet of Krishna, and the earth is so pleased by that. Let's hear the comment of Srila Sridharsini. Parts, we'll read parts that aren't spoken in the purport here. One of the gopis says, because each one of the verses is spoken by a different gopi, "O friend, Vrindavan spreads the glories of the earth as even more than heaven." People want to go to heaven. People want to go to heaven. People want to go to heaven, and people and spiritualists nowadays, they don't want to go to heaven. What do they want? New Age spiritualists, or any spiritual movement in the world, what do they want? Yeah, they want to become one. They don't talk about it so much, but it's always, always the same old thing. Either you want to go to heaven, which is karma, or you want to become one with the Supreme, which is jnana. And the devotees, swaga apavaga narakeshu, they don't care for any of these things. Kaivalyam nirakayate. They think merging is like hell. Because they want this. They want Vrindavan. It minimizes everything else. And therefore the devotees are willing to undergo austerities to do whatever is required to please Krishna. Because because they want Vrindavan to please Guru and Krishna and Mahaprabhu, because they want Vrindavan. They want to go there, and they know Shuddha Chitte, the heart has to be clean from all the petty selfishness, all the selfish, childish desires that we have. Oh, I'm fortunate because I got a candy today. Yes, and then if I'm really fortunate, I'll get 10 candies. Oh, and then the parents say, so you have to go to school today. No, no. That's not fortunate to get an education. The parents know that if the children don't get an education, that the children won't be able to live their life in a fruitful way, in a happy, satisfied way. But the child is thinking candy, 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 and the parents are more intelligent. The concept is bigger. So the parents are thinking education, 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 not playing, playing, playing. And the spiritualists, the devotees, are thinking, both of you are. No, you learn to love Krishna, then your life will be successful. So depending upon one's conception of life, of where true happiness is, then one conceives of what is fortune, what is worth working, striving for, and what is actually hellish. What is day? What is considered daylight for a materialistic person is considered night for a spiritualist, for a transcendentalist. And what is nighttime for a materialist? What is they thinking? It's terrible. No illicit sex, no intoxication, no meat eating, no gambling. What are you going to do for pleasure? Fruit of work. If you don't shop until you drop, how will you become happy in life? So that is our daytime, and the spiritualist there. They're asleep to what real pleasure is. So just opposite. So the gopi in this verse says, Vrindavan spreads the glories of the earth as even more than that of heaven. How is that? Because it has received the beauty, the opulence of the two lotus feet of the son of Devaki. So that's where they can, that is the treasure. They keep that treasure. Like, you don't keep how much money you have in your bank account, what to speak of the gold or whatever itself. You don't keep that on the kitchen table for everyone to see, and you don't put signs up to tell everyone. No, you keep it very carefully hidden because it's your treasure. So where do the Shuddha Vaishnavas, the pure devotees, where do they keep their treasure? What is that treasure? It's the lotus feet of Krishna. And where do they keep it? Always deeply in their hearts. So it has, the earth is so fortunate because it has received the beauty, opulence of the two lotus feet of the son of Devaki. Furthermore, immediately after hearing the resounding of the flute of Govinda, thinking it to be the gentle thunder of a blue cloud, because the Krishna's flute, sometimes it's compared to gentle thunder. And the blue cloud, of course, is Krishna, because he's Mega Sham. He's the bluest dark cloud, his complexion. The peacocks become maddened. And when all the animals who are standing in groups on the different peaks of the animals see the dancing of these peacocks, because peacocks dance in the rainy season, they become stunned and they stop all their activity. They cannot move. This does not occur in any other world, so therefore Vrindavan is spreading the glories of the earth. The gopis, referring to Krishna as the son of Devaki, is for the purpose of hiding the identity of those, the person they are talking about. In the same matter as another verse. But later on, They refer to him as Nandanandana because they cannot keep the words, the name of Krishna, out of their mouth. They cannot keep it hidden. Sanatana Goswami. Now, Prabhu. Maybe we can close. Sanatana Goswami says, short comment. He remarks, Sanatana Goswami says, that Vrindavan is more glorious than places like heaven where Vishnu wears slippers because he, Krishna, is marking the earth of Vrindavan with the marks of his bare feet, lotus-like bare feet. Govinda means the Indra or the Lord of the cows, the crown jewel of the cowherd community, which refers to the darling son of Sri Yasoda, who, surrounded by the cows and cowherd boys, is dressed in forest garments and enjoying himself in his various sporting activities, and the earth is so fortunate, and the peacocks are so fortunate, and the doves and all the small birds who are seeing this and are stunned in ecstasy, they are fortunate, and it is only us who are unfortunate because we cannot go. That's the mood of Sanatana Goswami's comment. And so the vision of Chakravarti Thakur. He says, the forest of Vrindavan has now become even sweeter because it is the place of Krishna's pastimes. Therefore, let us go there and see that place. There is no fault in doing that. With this in mind, one gopi spoke. Vrindavan is spreading the glories of the earth, especially as being better than Swarga, better than heaven. Because the earth is marked with the symbols of the flag and the thunderbolt from the lotus feet of Devaki Nandana, the son of Yasoda. The name Devaki also refers to Mother Yasoda, so that we've already read that as described. One gopi said, it is not possible to find the symbols of Krishna's feet decorating the abode of Vaikuntha, nor is it possible to see such a beautiful cow pasturing area there, because Vrindavan is so beautiful. And then describes what was mentioned in the purport. Hey Govinda, the peacocks say, hey Govinda, make us dance. And that another gopi said, oh Sakis, we intensely desire to relish Krishna's dancing, his singing and flute playing, and to see all those beasts, the deer and the doves and birds assembled on the hill slopes who have become stunned by bliss. But we cannot go. Only we are unfortunate. Now to experience, to strongly desire to serve Krishna, but feel so unfortunate and unable to do that, this is the mood that Mahaprabhu talks about as Trinada Bhisadi Jena. The whole Krishna is there in his holy names, but I'm so unfortunate. So unfortunate. I'm attracted to hundreds and thousands of other things, but I have no attraction to Krishna's names. I have no attraction to Krishna. How unfortunate I am. And therefore, based on that, Kirtani Asadahari, then one can chant properly and one can chant constantly. So it is necessary to feel dudaivam, unfortunate as I am. Here I am, a human. Here I am. Been chanting Hare Krishna for so many years. Here I am, initiated by Prabhupada. And so unfortunate. So unfortunate. And if one can chant in a very, very negative mood in that way, that negative, like a magnet, what does the negative attract in the magnet? The positive. And who is the positive? Krishna. But if we're feeling, boy, I'm such a good devotee. Look at these people over here. I'm so positive. Important thing is positive thinking about me. I have to keep my self-esteem up. Then no humility takes birth, and we're missing. We're missing the great fortune of feeling unfortunate and being close to Krishna. That's called Vrahabhav. This is what the ultimate, this is the ultimate teachings. This is the teachings of Mahaprabhu. Now the next verse. Not only are those animals fortunate, now we're going to hear some other kind of fortune over here. This is the effect of hearing Krishna's flute upon the deer. Because the deer are very, very wonderful animals. They're very, very, very gentle. They never hurt anyone. They're very, very gentle. So here's what the gopis say, the effect of hearing Krishna's flute on the deer. Danyam sma mudagatayo api harinya eta yanandanandanam upattavachitta vesham akarna venum. When they hear venu ranitam, the sound vibration of Krishna's flute, these mudagatayo, these animals, muda means dumb. These dumb animals, when they hear a karna venam vanitam sa Krishna sada, along there with Krishna sada means their husbands, because deer is a female animal, doe, and then the bucks is Krishna sada. Pujam, they worship Krishna, dador vratitam pranaya valoka. Pranaya means love. Aloka means with their loving glances. When you think of a deer, one naturally thinks of their soft, tender eyes. Even the eyes of the gopis are compared to the eyes of a doe, because they're very, very soft and very, very gentle. So how? So pujam, dador, means they are pujam dado, means the deer, the does, along saha Krishna sada, along with the bucks, their husbands. They are worshipping Krishna. How? Now, what can a doe do to worship Krishna? The peacocks, we heard what the peacocks do to worship Krishna. They offer what they have, the best of what they have. They're dancing and they have peacock feathers. But what do the does have? They have their beautiful, soft eyes. And they're worshipping Krishna with pranaya valokai, with their loving, devotional looks, looking with their beautiful eyes at Krishna. It is like this is the vision of the gopis. This is what they're seeing. How fortunate are the deer. They can look at Krishna and worship him just with their eyes. And when Krishna comes, even when he returns home in the forest, not only can't we worship Krishna in this way, looking at him with our doe-like eyes, because we can't go and see him, but even when he comes, returns to Vrindavan, we can't even look at him, because everyone will criticize. Oh, look at these girls. They're looking at Krishna all the time. They're married girls and they're looking at Krishna. And the mother-in-laws will beat them even and things like that. And their sister-in-laws will be angry at them. So everyone is fortunate but us. We can't even do this simple. We can't dance for Krishna. We can't. We have no peacock feathers to offer him. And not only that, we can't even look at even the does who are mudaka, they're just foolish animals. They are more fortunate than us. At least they can worship Krishna with looks of loving affection from their eyes. Because when someone looks at another with loving affection, it is so pleasing to them. We can't even please Krishna that way. So here's the translation. Blessed are all these foolish deer, because they have approached Nanda Maharaj, Maharaj Nanda's son, who is gorgeously dressed and is playing on his flute. Indeed, both the doe and the bucks worship the Lord with looks of love and affection. Purport. This translation is quoted from Srila Prabhupada's Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya 1736. According to the Acharyas, the gopis were thinking as follows. The female deer can approach Krishna along with their husbands because Krishna is the ultimate object of affection for the male deer. Even the male deers love Krishna. The does love Krishna. But the male deers also love Krishna, and they approach Krishna together with looks of love, pranaya, malokai. Because of their affection for Krishna, they are encouraged by seeing their wives attracted to him, and thus they consider their household lives fortunate. Indeed, they become joyful upon seeing how their wives are searching after Krishna and following along, and they urge their wives to go to the Lord. On the other hand, our husbands are jealous of Krishna. And because of their lack of devotion to him, to Krishna, they cannot even stand to smell his fragrance. Therefore, what is the use of their lives? So this is the mark of the topmost Uttama Bhagavat. They see everything and everyone as fortunate, except for themselves. They have the topmost humility even. They have the highest position and the topmost humility. So we read the comment of Srila Sridhar Swami to this text. Oh friend, this is how he describes the verse. These unintelligent beings, Muda Mateo, who have taken birth in animal species, these deers, they are nevertheless fortunate. Who, hearing the resounding of the flute, they perform worship, they offer respect to the son of Nanda, which consists their way of worshipping is their loving glance. And furthermore, they carried out this performance together with the black deer, Krishnasara, their husbands. Our husbands, on the other hand, the coward men, are mundane, and they cannot bear to be in the presence of Krishna. So this is the mark of Vrindavan. Everyone is simply interested in loving Krishna. They have no affection for the objects of the material world. They have no affection for liberation, becoming one with the Supreme, or even removing their material miseries. They have no desire, affection even for that. They'll give anything to give Krishna the smallest amount of pleasure, but to speak of the greatest amount of pleasure. They'll give their lives to remove the smallest amount of misery from Krishna, anything that they think is inconveniencing Krishna. They are the topmost lovers of Krishna, and therefore they're in Goloka Vrindavan. Sanatana Goswami, short purport. What to speak of the glory of the land of Vrindavan? Even the animals dwelling in the forest, such as the deer, are fortunate. Not only is the land fortunate, but even the animals who are dumb. Animals are unfortunate. Animal birth means suffering. You look at the dogs and the monkeys and the hogs or whatever. It's such a suffering life. Even not to have hands means suffering. And you see in Vrindavan, you really see it. They have fleas. Oh, imagine if you had fleas and you had no hands to even scratch them. And you had to wear a fur coat in the hot summer. Suffering. And then everyone's always biting you, and you're biting everyone else. And you see them, all they do is the dogs, they just sleep, they get up, bark for a while, eat, and go back to sleep. And then they get up and bark and fight with someone. Oh. And then they go. And then if you throw a rock at them, they go, as if you like hurt them so badly, and even miss them by 10 feet, and they start Vrindavan dogs. There's something very special. And poor dog. My poor dogs also do that. And then in 2 seconds, you turn your back, and when they come back and try to steal your food. So even the dumb animals dwelling in the forest of Vrindavan, such as the deer, are fortunate. The deer, this is Sanatana Goswami's comment, they offered worship with their loving glances because they had no other paraphernalia to offer. By the fact of their having taken birth in Vrindavan, even the deer are to be considered full in knowledge and most expert in all kinds of dealings, so that their so-called ignorance is only an external appearance. Thus Mudagatya means that they were acting as if they were foolish creatures, but actually they're the most exalted devotees. And they want to serve Krishna in this way with their big, beautiful eyes. And Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur comments. A gopi said, "Alas, although we're more intelligent than the deer, our life has become useless since we cannot meet Krishna. The less intelligent creatures have made their lives successful by meeting Krishna." How is that? Well, this is how. They can even worship him. They worship him with their husbands. But they can do it. We're so unfortunate. The gopis said, "Hearing the sound of the flute, the does worship Pujam Dadu Krishna with their affectionate glances. Then what can be said of the glances that we intelligent beings have given to Krishna?" The gopis were thinking as follows. The female deer can approach Krishna along with her husbands because Krishna is the ultimate object of affection for the male deer. Krishna Sara means male deer. And also those who take Krishna alone as the object of their worship. Krishna Sar, Sar means the essence. Because of their affection for Krishna, the bucks are encouraged by seeing their wives attracted to him, and thus they consider their household lives fortunate. Indeed, they become joyful upon seeing how their wives are searching after Krishna and following along. They urge their wives to run to the Lord. On the other hand, our husbands are jealous of Krishna. And because of their lack of devotion to him, they cannot even stand to smell his fragrance. Therefore, what is the use of our lives? Imagine, my dear devotees, if we thought in that way, that if I don't love Krishna, and if I can't do some service to Krishna, what is the use of my life? But instead, we have so many other uses for our life. So many other uses, and we don't think, we don't even think of it practically. That's called entangled. Entangled in the mind, entangled in the body, entangled in the things produced of the body and mind, entangled in this, entangled in that, entangled in the web, and the spider of time is stalking us, going to wrap us in its, and then taking our life away from us. But the gopis are thinking, what is the use? We cannot serve Krishna, cannot see Krishna, we cannot be with Krishna. What is the use of our life? And that's why when Prabhupada preached, he was so strong. And this was the mood also of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, that he only saw one thing. Pure devotional service, that was the only valuable. Everything else, useless, foolish, rascal. Therefore, he would use that word all the time, rascal this, rascal that, rascal, rascal. wasting the life. And let's see, there's no time to read the next one. Okay, thank you very much. Thank you, sir. Questions, comments?
You said how everybody in Vrindavan only wants to be closer to Krishna, and yet the gopis are saying that their husbands are envious of Krishna and they don't even want to smell the scent of Krishna.
Yes.
And you were saying how the gopis are want to go to Krishna and they get beaten if they go.
Yeah.
It sounds a bit like the material world.
It sounds as if, because this is Naralila, but it's very hard to explain because we don't understand, but because reality is very complex, and we see, we have a concept of reality. Yes, this is reality. This car went driving down the road, and another car banged into him, and this is what happened. And then you ask 10 different people what happened, and you get 10 different conceptions of what reality is. So reality actually is quite complex. What's simple is our illusion that we know what reality is. And in fact, it's only Krishna who knows what reality is, because he's the only one who knows everything. And even he doesn't, there are things that he doesn't understand. So he has to take his birth as Mahaprabhu. And his knowledge is also ever increasing. So we have this teeny bit of reality, teeny bit, and think of it as the whole, and we call that reality, but actually to call the part, to conceive of the part as if it was the whole, is illusion. So, in answer to your question, what goes on in Vrindavan depends upon the consciousness. You only, even there, people only see what they, even in Goloka Vrindavan, the people only see what is favorable for their mood. And their mood is love for Krishna. But that's what they see. They don't know all of reality. So when Narada Muni, for instance, because when he's not in the mood of Vrindavan, when he sees the activities of Vrindavan, he sees actually there are no demons. There are no husbands. There's only the concept of husbands. There's only the concept of these things, because as you say, everyone in Vrindavan must love Krishna. How could there be demons coming into Vrindavan? How could there be someone who doesn't like the fragrance of Krishna's transcendental body? How could they be in Vrindavan? So Narada Muni sees like that. But the gopis don't see like that, because if they saw like that, their mood would, for loving Krishna, it wouldn't increase their mood, it would decrease their mood. So from the material point of view, we would say that Narada Muni has a bigger concept of reality, so therefore he knows more, and therefore he's in a higher position. But it's not true that he's in a higher position. The gopis are in the highest position. So are there really husbands, and are there really sisters-in-laws that are going to beat them? If you look at it from Narada Muni's point of view, the answer is no. If you look at it from the gopis' point of view, the answer is yes. So which point of view do you want to look at it from? So those who aspire to serve in the way that Mahaprabhu is teaching, even though they know tattva, the point of view of tattva, or the philosophical truth, they also, from the point of view of rasa, And there's sometimes a difference from the point of view of the taste of Krishna's pleasure. It can be different. So they follow the mood of the Braja Gopis. So it's a complicated answer to a complicated or a simple sounding question. So which is real? Then the person with the analytical mind says, well, which is really true? And the answer is, it depends where you want, what you want. It's really true. But what's really true? Only Krishna. He's the only one who sees everything. But the followers of Mahaprabhu, we see from Mahaprabhu's example, he saw the mood. And the followers of Mahaprabhu by the six Goswamis, Gopi Bhava Vasamrita, the Hari, and they're always in the ocean of love. Answer your question? Does that answer your question? Any other questions? Same answer. But the answer is that how could we, who are struggling so hard with the mind and the senses, understand how they interact with their husbands? How can we? We can't understand the love of the gopis. We can't understand the land of Vrindavan. We can't understand what Krishna looks like. All we can understand is our mind, and we can't even understand that. We just see the universe, but we don't even see the universe. We're just seeing our minds, basically. And we want to understand these complicated technical spiritual questions. First, we have to advance spiritually. What's the use of an intellectual understanding of something that we have no, practically speaking, no conception of? I saw Prabhupada answer those kind of questions in that way also. First, come up. Can't penetrate through the intelligence. The one way is mercy. Anugata. Mercy. And from our side, mercy is from the above side, and from our side, it's bhakti and humility and seva. That's how we can penetrate. That's what we can do from our side.
In your explanation about all this great personality, they see Krishna in everything and they feel that they're so low that other people are doing greater service even though they are in a different body. So going back to my business as a taxi driver, sometimes you pick up some drunk people, how can I see that they are serving Krishna better than I'm serving Krishna?
Well, first, this is the vision of someone on the highest platform. So if you were on the highest platform, you wouldn't have to ask that question. You shouldn't see them serving Krishna. You should feel very sorry for them. We should see like a madhyama, middle, not the topmost. You should feel compassion. Boy, he's a human being. And look what he's doing with his life. Where is he going to be in his next life? Look what he's doing even in this current life. In 2 hours, the next morning he's going to be suffering so much and his liver's going to fall out. And he's going to be nauseous and still he's doing this. How much suffering. For him to think that this is pleasure, how much suffering he must have in his heart, in his consciousness. So better to feel some compassion and then let them hear the holy name or a little prasadam or somehow or another try to benefit them. And you can take his money and somehow use it for Krishna and pray that Krishna accepts some of it from him as if he was giving it. But don't try to imitate. That's the first rule. No imitation. No imitating the first class devotee. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Gaura Bhaktivinoda ki jai.